entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
It is the last Sunday in September 2014, and there will never be another one. You see, that's the kind of logic you may hear, some call it the truth, on the American Adversary Sunday Spectacular on AM 660 The Answer and the Mercury Free Studio. I'm Larry Adams, and I have a kind of a difficult question for you. How do you utter the words, "Thank you for your service to the many wonderful elderly World War II veterans just getting off the plane after visiting the World War II Memorial in Washington for the first time, when the words swell up in your throat as you're overcome with respect and unbelievable honor? My answer? You do it badly, but humbly. Our host was there. He knows what I'm talking about. Christopher Hart!
All right, and we'll be telling you all about it here in just a few minutes, folks. And don't forget, we're going to be here live until 8 o'clock, so we're going to be telling you all about a lot of stuff, so we hope you'll stay with us. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries Classic Edition, as our executive producer, Nostradamus, likes to call it, as we depart on our Sunday evening three-hour tour. And that's right, we are live, and the baseball season is over, and summer is over, so as we go through the fall and winter, we will be here live on AM 660 The Answer every Sunday night. So we hope you'll come and join us. And don't forget, whenever we're not here, we're always simulcasting on Sunday on 1520 WBZW, our sister station here in Central Florida. It's a spottily rainy evening here in Central Florida, folks. If you're heading out on the roads like I did in Orlando, when I leave my house in downtown Orlando, it's sunshiny and kind of hot. And basically, right as I transitioned into Maitland, it was raining and fairly hard. So be careful if you're heading out on the roads. You could definitely run into some showers and some pretty heavy downpours, although it's not widespread tonight like it has been the past few days. As I said, we will be here live tonight until 8 o'clock. We got almost a full crew tonight. Our executive producer, Nostradamus, is out once again tonight and out sniffing up good stories for us, I'm sure. Hopefully he's not rushing the White House again like that. but we also have in his seat, and who's going to sit in for him when we get to the Nostradamus' stories from the past, if you will, our man Johnny Guns, our WTF news hound.
Hey, everybody.
And across from him, next to me and on the table here, is our man Carl Jackson.
Hello, everyone.
Get off the table, Carl.
And of course, he has a great show every Saturday morning, live 8 to 9 a.m., which he missed, actually, yesterday. Had Sultan Ramza sit in for him, and we'll talk about why here shortly. Nick Cicero is on the bridge for us tonight, and we appreciate that. Nick's our man Monday through Friday, but he's sitting in for our man Jeff Sinis tonight, who's helping his parents celebrate their wedding anniversary. And I believe it's like the 35th or 40th or something like that.
It's a bunch.
Yeah, it's a bunch of them.
So, and Nick is our Disney man.
That's right. So we wish the Sinises happy anniversary. And that's right. Nick also has his very own show. Live on 1520 WBZW every Thursday night, 8 to 10. WDW News is what it's called because it's all about Walt Disney World. And they talk about some fascinating stuff, everything from the latest customer discounts to technology and all kinds of stuff. Real interesting show. And we have Lucas Paris in the studio tonight with the head cam up and running. So
well, we have Lucas's head, at least.
All right, so you can go to Ustream.tv and see what we do right here in the studio. So Ustream.tv and dial in our channel, our very own channel, which is American Adversaries, and there we will be. And the best thing is you can communicate with us. There's a little chat box there where you can send us messages, and Lucas makes sure we get them. Nick will also be handling the phones tonight, so keep your phone ready to go. 407-774-8255 is the number. We will be doing our Who Said That contest tonight, except I had so much fun last week doing a Who Was That contest. We're going to do another Who Was That contest again tonight, but we plan to have a lot of fun with that. And got a big show lined up for you. Lair's got his closing remarks all set. We got some stories from the past, WTF News that Johnny Gunn's going to bring us. Carl's got his stories lined up for his corner of the show. And Sunny, our California glow girl who's in Arizona right now, is going to join us at 7 o'clock. And as I said, we got our Who Was That contest. I want to start off talking on the show about some events that we attended over the weekend. We're going to talk about nuisance terrorism. We have it now in the United States, and if you would listen to the likes of John Kerry, get used to it. I don't think we should, but that's the message we're getting from the administration. And we're also going to talk about Pastor Rafael Cruz. Carl and I had the opportunity to spend yesterday morning with the pastor and a number of other pastors and like-minded folks at Tuscaloosa Country Club. And I was moved. Let's just put it that way. So we're going to talk about it on the show tonight. The theme of tonight's show is salt and light. The salt and the light. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Carl?
Yes, sir, I do.
And I'm going to tie that in, first of all, to the honor flight that Lair referenced in his opening remarks. We had the privilege, the absolute privilege, I do say, last night to be at the Sanford International Airport to welcome the most recent honor flight, Central Florida honor flight, back to Orlando. And there was about 75 veterans on the flight. Most of them were World War II, but I did see a handful of Korean War hats.
Mm-hmm.
And when I referenced the salt and the light, this is something that Pastor Cruz talked about yesterday morning at the breakfast. And to me, if you will, this was the most inspirational part of his speech. And by the way, what a speech it was. And boy, does that man know how to deliver a message. And it reminded me of something John Steinbrenner said at the center right coalition meeting a few weeks ago when I announced when we were told about this and I found out about it, Pastor Cruz being in Orlando and giving these presentations, which, by the way, he's giving one tonight at 6:30, folks.
Well worth it.
At the Aloma Church at 1815 State Road 436. This is a rare time when I would advise you to go there, turn off the radio, and go inside and listen to Pastor Cruz. You will remember it and you will cherish it for the rest of your life. The salt and the light is a reference that's it's a passage in the Bible from correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, but Matthew 5:13-14.
Yep.
And what it references is what we should aspire to be in our lives, what we should aspire to do, if you will, with our lives. And salt, we now today use it mostly as a spice, at least that's the way we think about it, but it is still used this day, and it was primarily used in days before we had refrigeration and things, as a preservative, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We are to be the preservers of that which God has given us. And in this particular case, it is the Constitution of the United States and the great country that was born of it. We are to be the preservers. And then we are to show the light to restore, in this case, the greatness of the United States and the purpose of its founding and its Judeo-Christian heritage, because that is the foundation of our nation and our civilization.
And if you take away the foundation, guess what happens to the structure on top? Now, I'm a carpenter, so it's obvious to me the structure on top comes crumbling down. Maybe that's not so obvious to the likes of liberals, who are so only too happy to deny and try to obfuscate and hide the true history of our great nation. To get back to the honor flight, it occurred to me last night as I was looking into the eyes of these men and women. And by the way, thank you, Charlie. Charlie is a dear friend of mine who I know, have known now for about, I guess, 10 or 11 years. I've done a little work for the man and his wife, Joe, and they are just tremendous people of faith, great conservative, Charlie is. And he served in the Navy. And one of the things, did you notice last night how they had the buttons, Lair? Lair's first time was last night.
Yeah.
They have these buttons, and what the organization does, there's an organization that takes a photograph of them from back when they were in the day.
Exactly.
And then they make a button out of it that these guys and gals wear on their chest, so you can see what they look
kind
like.
Kind of a then and now.
Exactly. And they are all young, basically not much more than children, and yet they stood up to be the salt and the light, right? They stood up, they volunteered in droves. They went down and lied about their age to get into the military at 16 and 17 years old so that they could preserve that which they knew was God-given and the greatest country and the greatest civilization that humankind has ever known in the known history of this planet. And then they were also the ones who showed the way to the future. When they came back to the United States of America, they give us the world that we enjoy today. Everything that we enjoy today came from this great generation and their slide rules and their hard work and their dedication and their lack of complaining. We owe them so very, very much. And as I said, it's only a privilege of ours to be able to enjoy their company like we were able to do last night. And to see the smiles on their faces as they looked down at us when they were coming down the escalator made it all worthwhile. Because they knew that they were welcomed home again.
And, you know, a giant ticker tape parade couldn't have been any bigger for them. I mean, the crowd of people they went through, and it was a big crowd of people, Chris. I was absolutely stunned how many people were there.
All right. So, folks, next time, if you have the opportunity, please get involved with the Honor Flight one way or another. We'll be right back.
And you don't want to get that tutti frutti.
Did we ever figure out what his tutti frutti is?
I'm afraid to ask. No, I just don't want to get whooped with it, that's for sure.
Maybe we can ask Sonny. Well, she's in wrestling. She probably knows him. Well, what's his tutti frutti?
She'll be with us at 7 o'clock. Lucas knows. Oh, it's right.
He's a boxer, Mark Merrow.
Oh, okay. Johnny
and
B.
that
Bad,
was the tutti frutti, his Merrow, overhand right or something?
Mark Merrow came from the boxing world, and he had a nasty right hook, and that's what he called his tutti frutti. All right, now we know it. I knew I didn't want to get whooped with it. All right, so welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to The American Adversaries, 407-774-8255. Dave from Apopka, I'm sorry I didn't get to your call in the first segment. If you'd like to call back, we'll get to you. Of course, anybody else would you like to call, please do now or anytime during the show. And don't forget, at 8 o'clock, there's still a lot of great live radio on AM 660 The Answer and our sister station, 950 WTLN. Not what I like to do, and don't tell Mark Walters of Armed American Radio, but I go up the dial to 950 for an hour and listen to John Butler Book. He does a great show live from 8 to 9 o'clock. And then I come back down the dial, and then I listen to Mark Walters because he takes you live from 8 to 11 right here on AM 660, The Answer. And he does a great job with his show, Armed American Radio. All right. So, once again, the Honor Flight, great, great experience last night. My weekend started on Friday night. As soon as I left the studio here, I made my way down to the Florida Mall, Florida Hotel down there for the True Life Choice 31st Annual Banquet. And that was an inspirational evening as well, where I learned that, you know, when be honest with you, when I think of True Life Choice and the clinic over there, I think of basically women counseling women. And lo and behold, I found that
the most effective first responders, if you will. The people who direct a lot of these women to True Life Choice are people who go out and stand outside abortion clinics in the safe zone, wherever they won't get arrested. And many times they just stand there. Some hold signs, but they are there to try to show these women they have another option. And the most effective ones who get the women and girls to go to True Life Choice are men. Men. I thought that shocked me.
Just shocked me.
Yeah. And we're going to have one of these guys on our show. In the future, a man who stands outside one of the abortion clinics in downtown Orlando, and women approach him, and he gives them counsel. These women are looking for guidance, and many of them are looking for a strong male presence in their life. Many of them, that is what has been missing, a strong male presence. So they go out and they find it any way they can. And of course, the surest way to find a male presence in a woman's life is to give it up. Only that is not a true, true medicine for what the soul needs. Both young women and young men need strong male role models. I'm sorry for you liberals out there who want us all to be pajama boys and girls. That is not going to work in our society. We need good, solid, strong role models, both feminine and masculine. The nature of the universe is for opposites to coexist. And the one cannot exist without the other. And they both have to be strong. And by the way, there was a... what was the actress who actually made the speech this week about feminism at the UN, where she talked about feminists need men?
I forget her name, but it was a young lady from
Emma Watson.
Okay.
Emma Watson. Thank you, Nick. And she made the speech basically saying, you know, feminism can't just toss the men out. I mean, because in a way, she's recognizing what I'm saying. Life is never one-sided. You have to have both sides to make life complete, no matter what you're talking about. It doesn't matter. The Greeks understood this 2,500 years ago. And that is that our universe wouldn't be what it is unless you did have the commingling of opposites. Everything from acid and alkaline, good and bad, love and evil, love and hate. We can go down the list. Inside, outside, up, down, left, right.
Well, that's where liberals want to usurp all that, because they think government can take care of that whole opposite and all those problems.
Now you see why I call all of them idiots. You know, they may all be well-schooled. Barack Obama, I'm sure, is very well-schooled. What his grades are don't matter. He's very well-schooled. I mean, you can tell by his vocabulary and the way he delivers. But he's not very smart. In the sense that he's not a very worldly man. He's dealing in the world of the theoretical, in theory, you know, and let's suppose this, and if this, then that. And it is not real world based. That is what the man is lacking.
It reminds me, several years ago, I used to love this movie with Robin Williams and Matt Damon, and I would watch it over and over again, and this was before I was... saved, because it has some very foul language, but I loved the movie at the time. And Robin Williams was sitting and counseling Matt Damon at the time, and Matt Damon was a genius, absolute genius in aeronautical engineering, mathematics, you name it. He was just a genius, and he would cut off Robin Williams, who was a brilliant guy himself, and tell him about all these places around the world that he had never been to. And Robin Williams finally confronted him and said, "You know, you can give me all these lofty ideas and these theories, and yeah, you're a brilliant man, but you don't know what it's like to go stand by the Eiffel Tower. You don't know what it's like to go smell this and smell that." So it just reminded me of that scene as you were.
Yeah, and that's what you have with the liberals, you see. They don't really live in the real world, and that's why Barack Obama can stand up and say with a straight face all these fantasies, these fantastical ideas about how the economy's good or whatever the notion may be.
And it's just totally based in fantasy.
Well, to Carl's point, I think it goes to the phrase, wisdom is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Learning is knowing tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is knowing it doesn't belong in a fruit salad.
Yeah, there you go. So True Life Choice, great organization. The speaker that night, Claire, I'll get her name here in a moment for you, but Claire was a survivor of an abortion, a 13-year-old mother whose grandmother, or her grandmother, the 13-year-old's mother, dictated that the 13-year-old get the abortion. She went down, they aborted a twin fetus, then discovered...
Then discovered
that she was still pregnant. And her mother demanded she go back and get another abortion. She went back to the same clinic, and that clinic said, no, you're too far along. We cannot abort. But there is a doctor in Kansas who does do this sort of thing. So the mother provided transportation for her to go to Kansas, the 13-year-old girl. And they discovered that she was too far along to abort, not necessarily in months, but because her sac had already ruptured.
And from the previous abortion.
From whatever. And basically the birthing process had started, so they sent her to an adoption place where they put her up for 2 weeks until she birthed this little 3-pound girl who turned out to be a beautiful young woman who now has a daughter of her own. And it was just a fantastic story. And one of the best parts of the story is she's not bitter at all. She's totally forgiving. And
has she met her mother?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, told her mother that she thought that what she did was the most courageous thing that she could do, in the sense that she gave the child up for adoption, because she knew that she could not take care of it at 13, 14 years old. And the grandmother wanted no part of it. So it was a tough choice, but she made it. And so great stories all the way around this weekend. And we're not done yet. In the next hour, we're going to talk about Carl's and my and others' breakfast yesterday morning with Pastor Rafael Cruz. So you're definitely going to want to stay with us tonight. Don't forget, we are up on Ustream.tv.
Hey, did they serve bacon, guys?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Sausage and bacon.
Yeah, go get a slice of bacon. We'll get back.
That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Sunday Night Classic Edition on our 3-hour tour. And by the way, folks, if you happen to get sunburned while you're out on the 3-hour tour with us, you can always get some Roxy Pacifics and put on it. That stuff is great for anything. Roxy Pacifics, of course, is the all-natural kelp solution, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails your skin. I call it Miracle-Gro for your skin because it makes it grow healthily. If you don't look at me, just take a look at Carl Jackson, that handsome hunk of man, because he uses Roxy Pacifics on a regular basis, as I do. But it's great for sunburn, nicks, cuts, scrapes, bug bites, chronic conditions for your skin. Dr. Ken Vihek uses it quite often because he's a diabetic.
Laryngitis,
you name it. It's great. It's safe. You can use it on any part of your body, inside or out, that you can get and spray it with. And kids can use it on themselves, and you can use it on your pets. If you'd like to find out more about it, you can go to roxypacifics.net. That's spelled R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X, .net. Or give Ed Roxy a call at 619-654-4829, 619-654-4829. And who knows, we may actually give away a few bottles free here tonight. During the break, I got a call from my dear friend Charlie Diuto, and Charlie was the Charlie I was telling you about that we was part of the honor flight yesterday, and he just wanted to express his gratitude, as well, to all the folks who came out last night to welcome these great Americans back. It was, Lair said, it was a nice crowd, and I'm sure it was pretty impressive as these guys, you know, were coming down the escalator there to see the crowd that was there to welcome them back. So Charlie just wants to express his thanks. And once again, the most humble of the humble, this generation. I mean, we owe them everything we got, and they're thanking us.
Yeah.
So thank you, Charlie Diuto. And by the way, he had on his button was the picture of a very handsome young sailor with a big old shock of curly hair. And I tell you what, he had it going for him. So thanks so much to Charlie and men and women like him. They have been the salt
and the light. And they have passed the torch on to us, folks. And I just hope that we are up to it. I know we can be, because we have been born of that great generation.
Well, and two, if you think you want to go out there and help these people, no, I tell you what, you're going to walk away thinking with a gratitude to them for how you feel when you see these people and the warmth. It was the whole thing was great.
That's right. And it was quite a diverse crowd there, too, folks. Everything from sheriff's deputies to folks with biker clubs, very young children there, a lot of young children there, and just people.
A little four-year-old girl in fatigues.
Yep, the cutest little thing you ever see, and just people from all walks of life.
And a great high school band.
That's right.
Played some Glenn Miller.
Middle school band, Lair.
Or middle school. That was middle school.
Middle school
they
band.
They were hot.
Yep, good. All right, so we'll keep you abreast of honor flights in the coming weeks and months. Before we get to the news of the past with Johnny Guns, I just want to speak for a moment. We'll speak more about this later on in the show, but this incident that happened in Oklahoma, where the quote-unquote disgruntled employee...
The workplace violence?
Well, they're not exactly calling it that yet. Blinken, Tony Blinken, the reason I call him Blinken, Tony Blinken, because he blinks his eyes a lot, which indicates to me he's either lying or knows that he's not telling the whole truth. But Blinken, Tony Blinken was the White House staff official who made the rounds this morning on all the talk shows. He's the Deputy National Security Advisor. It's up to the FBI. It's in the FBI's hands right now as to what it will be classified as, but they're not officially calling it workplace violence, but they're not calling it terrorism either. But it's quite clear that radical Islam definitely had something to do with all this. The man was trying to convince his coworkers to become Muslims. I don't know if that's what led to his firing, but something led to the man being fired. He came back into this evidently it was a meat processing plant and took one of the knives that they use in their duties as they
butcher knife, yeah,
yeah, and proceeded to go into the executive offices, not the workplace area, but the executive offices, presumably the people who would have fired him, and cut one woman's head off, and was in the process of stabbing another, presumably going to do the same to her when he was shot by
an executive
of the corporation who had a concealed weapons permit and is a volunteer deputy. And the man survived. He did not kill him, and he was arrested. But the MO is radical Islam. The MO is radical Islam. If this was your typical disgruntled employee, he wouldn't have taken the time to cut the woman's head off. He would have been off looking for more victims.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
he was making a statement.
Right. Now, John Kerry said something in 2004, which basically Blinken, Tony Blinken, basically reiterated this morning in terms of ISIS and the war on terror around the world. Basically, Barack Obama, in a pretty extraordinary speech, I must say, that he made at the UN this week, he basically echoed Dick Cheney and George W. Bush. He did acknowledge that this is a worldwide war on terrorism. He didn't use those exact words, but he did recognize it and did say that it needs to be fought and that all these people understand is force. That's a long way from the Nobel Peace Prize winning young guy that we elected as the first black president of the United States who was going to not only unite the United States but unite the whole doggone world.
Oh, the guy that thought George Bush was bad when he thought about a surge, but when he got in there, oh, his surge was great.
Right. But basically what they want to do is quote-unquote contain terrorism. As John Kerry put it in the 2004 his 2004 presidential election run, we'll never be able to totally eliminate it, so hopefully we can just reduce it to a quote-unquote nuisance level. A quote-unquote nuisance level. In other words, we should never think that we can totally eradicate this, and at some point we're going to have to say, well, we're just going to have to live with that. Now, where that point is, I don't know, but I would assume this would certainly fit into the category nuisance terrorism. Do you not think so?
Well, I guess these people got their heads cut off by just nuisance.
Yeah, by a man who was being a nuisance.
Yeah,
I reckon.
It was just a nuisance.
But this is what
he was a pest.
Yeah, and so we can't really get all bent out of shape about this because it's just a nuisance. But by the way, this also happened. If you've been listening to our show, it also happened in the UK,
in England. And thanks to Jeannie, JJ, who calls our show a lot. She tipped us off about this story. A woman was doing her gardening in England when her head was cut off because she lived in this neighborhood a long time, was an Italian immigrant, good solid Catholic woman, and the Muslims basically took over the neighborhood, and they were pressuring her to convert, and she said, no way, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'll go to my grave believing that, and they sent her there. Another nuisance act of terrorism, I reckon. Got the same non-treatment in England.
Following Sharia law, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So, nuisance terrorism is going to be the new code word, I reckon, going forward. All right, but it's now time to look to the past, so we're going to go to Johnny Guns, who's sitting in for Nostradamus tonight.
All right, thanks, Chris. Are we going to play the music or no? I don't know. Yeah, there we go.
Predict the past.
It just wouldn't be this segment without the music. I mean, even though we don't have Nostradamus, we still have the bumper.
Yeah, but he just didn't predict it was coming up.
Oh. All right. First story here that Nostradamus left for me is about schools dropping Michelle Obama's lunch rules.
No.
Yeah. The Green Lake School District in Wisconsin is the latest to join a number of schools reevaluating their participation in the National School Lunch Program. A report comes out, says that the district is dissatisfied with the new school lunch and snack rules championed by First Lady Michelle Obama. Said one of the principals in the school district, when I walk through the school cafeteria, I see multicolored fruits and vegetables and whole grain pasta or wraps on the trays of our students. The food looks really good, but the students aren't eating it. It's unflavored and tasteless.
Bland.
Green Lake, Wisconsin.
They'd rather go hungry than eat it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There are also school districts in New Hampshire that are looking to opt out, said the superintendent in one of those districts. It's been much more restrictive and prescriptive with the intention of serving healthy snacks and foods. Opting out would mean more flexibility and local decision-making. And I don't know. When I never had, like, a healthy lunch when I was at school. You know, they always had the pizza, the hamburger surprise, and look how I... maybe that's not a great surprise.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
All right. By the way, the First Lady's going to be on this new show called The Chew this week, it's a cooking show. So we'll see what they cook up for
that's
First Lady.
Terrible.
Guaranteed it's going to be unflavored and tasty.
That's like rice cakes. Have you ever eaten anything on a rice cake?
If you
can put peanut butter in a rice cake, you should just lick the peanut butter off the knife. That's the same effect.
Pretty much.
All right. How would you like to get your groceries delivered to you? That sounds pretty nice, isn't it? How about the post office delivering it to you?
What?
Don't order any fruits or vegetables, right?
After 6 years of multi-billion-dollar losses, the Postal Service has developed a new plan to help turn its finances around, and that's daily grocery deliveries, which the agency wants to begin testing on a large scale come October 24th. With the process lasting up until 2 years for this trial. Under the plan, the USPS would work with retail partners to deliver groceries and other packaged goods to homes, get this, between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m. Can you imagine that? 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Grocery delivery.
There might be some gunshots going off. I'm just saying.
Johnny, let me ask you, so how do you get a watermelon in a mailbox?
Yeah, well...
Oh, okay.
That's an off-air discussion.
I just wouldn't order anything that had to be kept fresh.
Now, that means grocery stores have to drop off their orders to the post offices between 1:30 and 2:30 in the morning.
Something is going to catch on.
Oh, boy. Just look for an outbreak of salmonella poison.
Yeah. All right. Finally, a story he left for me is about Martine Rothblatt.
Martine Rothblatt.
Oh, yeah. She's a
59-year-old
entrepreneur and space lawyer. What, she hears cases in space? Is that what it is? Okay. She's the highest-paid female executive in America. She made, drum roll, please,
$38
million. Yes, man. I saw your eyes get real big there, Bob Jackson.
$38
million last year as CEO of United Therapeutics. She's got an impressive resume. She's the CEO of United Therapeutics, but before that, she helped found both Geostar and Sirius Radio.
Wow.
There's just one other kind of impressive thing on her radio. As Austin Powers would say, she used to be a man, baby. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
The highest paid woman had a... up until 1994,
Martin,
if you know what I mean. She underwent sex reassignment surgery at the age of 40.
When did the term reassignment surgery appear?
It's like they take it off here and put it on there.
And now she's using her position to champion for equal pay.
Oh, what position would that be?
Well. Equal pay,
equal pay for women.
Is she making less than she would be making if she had kept her original parts?
She's saying that 11 of the 200 highest paid CEOs are women, and she doesn't think that men are smarter than women, but believes it's a persuasive hangover from thousands of years of patriarchy in the workplace. And she says female CEOs, the median pay is $1.6 million less than the male peers.
Oh, boy, that's a real pay cut.
That's looking at the thing from both sides of the situation.
If the other females were as tough as her, they'd get the same amount of They had some testosterone flowing.
I was going to say, before he was successful, now does he have the you-know-whats for it?
Yeah, she doesn't have the cojones to ask for more money.
Oh, boy. I guess we're going to have to start doing in the boardroom what they used to do in the Olympics, back in the 70s and 80s when there was some doubt as to whether the women Russian weightlifters were actually women Russian weightlifters, so they had to check them out.
Okay.
But don't check out on us, folks, because we're coming back. And when we come back, we got Carl's Corner lined up for you, and we're just getting warmed up. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries, ladies and gentlemen. That little cackle you hear in the background is from the man we're going to hear from next. He's been kicking me under the table, so I've put him in his corner.
I was just watching Johnny Gunn sweat as he listened to that last little... taping from Sonny there. So. All right. Anyway, I read a story earlier this week, and actually, you all have heard the story. As a matter of fact, I've heard the American Adversary speak on the story, but I just want to go back through it, offer you a synopsis just to get familiar with it again, and then I just want to give you a few takeaways, if you will. We're going to talk about Dinesh D'Souza. Last week, as you know, this is a story out of Breitbart.com entitled Dinesh D'Souza Sent to Probation Community Service. I have no idea what... Well, yes, I do, to some extent. Okay, here's a story. New York, New York. Following nearly 3 hours of compelling, wrangling, and heartfelt deliberations, author and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza was sentenced on Tuesday to 5 years of probation. He will serve the first 8 months in a community confinement center. I have no idea what that is yet. As deemed by Judge Richard Berman in the United States District Court of the Southern District of New York. Now, D'Souza said he was thankful that Judge Berman passed a fair judgment, quote unquote. Speaking on his behalf, D'Souza's attorney, Benjamin Braffman, said, I've yet to find a case exactly like this that ends in a prison sentence, and I'm glad that this was not the first one. We are delighted that Judge Berman spared Mr. D'Souza. Braffman posited that a punishment of incarceration did not fit the crime for which D'Souza was being judged. In the end, Judge Berman agreed. This was D'Souza's first offense, by the way. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with what Dinesh D'Souza did, let me go ahead and baffle you. D'Souza was indicted by a federal grand jury in the beginning of this year for making what are called straw donations, contributions in the names of other people to a Republican senatorial candidate running in the state of New York by the name of Wendy E. Long. Now, I want you guys to understand what Dinesh D'Souza did. You have to understand what a straw donation is. It doesn't mean that he made contributions falsely in other people's names. It means that he gave people money to make contributions, basically on his behalf to some extent. So this is what happened. Now, the candidate was Wendy E. Long in New York, And the article goes on to say this was a move that is a violation of federal campaign finance laws. D'Souza had, through two friends, donated $20,000 in total, an amount which exceeds the $5,000 legal limit. Now, the author, filmmaker, commentator, described as a person who cares and who is good at heart, during the sentencing, D'Souza told Judge Berman, "I know what I did was wrong, and I am contrite about it." In addition to his 5-year probation sentencing and 8 months of confinement in a community confinement center, which I need to look up, or restitution center, the story says, which will likely be completed in San Diego, California, where D'Souza resides. Judge Berman ordered D'Souza to undergo, are you ready for this, therapeutic counseling. Berman also noted that during those 5 years, D'Souza must carry out community service by teaching English as a second language for 8 hours a day, 1 day a week for 5 years. I'll touch on that again later in the takeaway. Attorney Michael Gaynor, who was just a spectator in the courtroom, told Breitbart News that Dinesh D'Souza does not belong in jail. This is a third perspective, okay? Another attorney that was just sitting in the courtroom observing said Dinesh D'Souza does not belong in jail. He also pointed out that he had never heard a judge sentence a defendant to therapeutic counseling. Judge Berman also ruled that D'Souza must pay a $30,000 fine within 45 days. Okay, $20,000 he spent, $30,000 he'll have to pay. Berman was appointed by President Bill Clinton, by the way. Just thought you should know that. Assistant U.S. Attorney and Prosecutor Kerry Cohen argued during the sentencing that Dinesh D'Souza's actions were premeditated and stated that a prison sentence was sufficient. Thankfully, Braffman rebutted that D'Souza's act was carried out without premeditation and noted that if he had planned out said action, the $25,000 his client had withdrawn in one lump sum from his bank would have, in fact, been drawn out in increments of under $10,000 at a time in order to avoid a currency transaction report. Thus, Braffman argued that D'Souza did not act in a manner that was premeditated. D'Souza admitted that in the interest of time, he had not consulted attorneys in his decision to donate to Long's campaign in the way he did, nor did he create a political PAC, which then if he had created the political PAC, mm-hmm. it would have been acceptable to do what he did because he would have created a political PAC. So by creating a political PAC that they can follow, that would have been acceptable. Just something you need to understand. Here are my takeaways. Number one, why do politicians get to determine how much we can give to their opponents? We all know they wouldn't mind it if the money was sent to their campaign because we know that they take such donations. We know that, in fact, President Barack Obama has more than any other politician and or president in history has taken donation campaigns that were pretty unseemly. And he just got a $42,000 fine for contributions of over $2 million that were pretty much just like what happened with Dinesh D'Souza. $2 million, $20,000, president gets no time, no mention in the news, $42,000 his campaign pays, the news goes away. Number two, therapeutic counseling. What makes a judge believe that it's not campaign laws that need to be changed, rather than Dinesh D'Souza's mind and heart? Here's the, not quite the bottom line, but we're almost there. D'Souza was meant to be made an example of. This is what the president wanted to do. This is what he's done with conservatives for the last several years that he's been in office. Whenever he's had an opportunity to make an example of someone, he does not miss it. And that's exactly what has happened to Dinesh D'Souza. And then I want to ask you this. Why should he pay restitution in addition to the $30,000 fine that he already received? See, here's what the government does. They find regulatory laws and they figure out a way to keep their own pockets fat in the name of justice to make themselves feel good about it. Now, here's a great takeaway
something that I feel inspired about. The mistake that the judge made was sentencing Dinesh D'Souza to 5 years of community service where he has to teach English as a second language. Now, this is something that I'm very excited about because I am very confident that over the next 5 years, more conservatives are going to be coming out of that illegal immigration office facility or where school, wherever it is that he has to teach, then probably will be birthed in America. Who knows? So in that sense, hey, there's a silver lining in everything, folks, and there was one.
By the way, that the community center you're talking about is essentially a halfway house. Okay. So he will be housed with other prisoners. Who knows? Maybe he can turn them, too.
Right. Where does that money from the fines
go
to?
Got to go.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
We're feeling good tonight, folks, because it is Sunday night, and we are now starting into our second hour of our three-hour tour. Just love to do these three-hour shows on Sunday night with you. And want to thank you for being out there. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me is Blair Adams in the driver's seat over here. We got Johnny Guns next to him. We got Carl Jackson across the table. We got Lucas Paris with the head cam up and running, so you can go to ustream.tv and dial in our channel, which is American Adversaries, and there you'll see us in the studio, and you can also communicate with us through the little chat box there. And on the bridge tonight, we have Nick LoCicero sitting in for our regular guy, Jeff Sinis, who's helping his parents celebrate their wedding anniversary. And, of course, we want hope you'll help us celebrate a great evening here in Central Florida by listening to us for the next couple of hours, and then stick around and listen to some more live radio here on the Salem channels here that you have available. The only great live radio you have, really, I believe the only live radio you have on a Sunday night. So but good stuff. And we started off, and then we handed off to John Butler Book up the dial at 950 WTLN for the John Butler Book Show. He'll take you from 8 to 9. And, of course, if you want to listen to Armed American Radio, they're live right here on AM 660, The Answer, from 8 to 11. And, of course, we hope you'll stick around for that whole time and stay away from your TV tonight, especially CBS, for the new series called Madam Secretary.
I watched that last week.
Oh, man.
Was it any good?
I actually liked it.
Oh, no.
Why?
Are you voting for Hillary?
Tail Leone.
Yeah.
Just two words. Tail Leone.
That's
right?
What you like about
that's
it.
That's the only reason I like the show.
Well, all right. Well, at least there's some rhyme and reason to it anyway.
Hello.
But, I didn't know it started already.
Yeah. It's about a female Secretary of State basically pulling the president's fat out of the fire. Now, if Barack Obama had any fat on that scrawny carcass of his, maybe Hillary Clinton might have imagined at one time she pulled his fat out of the fire. But all she did was acquiesce to the Obama administration and make her protestations private. But even when she knew what they were doing was absolutely wrong, including lying to the American public and the world about Benghazi, she went right along with it. Yeah, good old team player is Hillary there. All right. So, all right. Well, we've been talking about some great events that we went to this week, and I want to talk about another one that Carl and I went to yesterday morning. But in the meantime, we got Pasquale, the owner of Cafe Positano and our longtime sponsor on the show with us right now. He's joining us by telephone. Pasquale, how's it going?
Buonasera and good evening to everybody, and good evening to the listener of you guys' radio.
All right.
We have a beautiful, nasty Sunday.
Yeah, it is. That's right. Hey, where are you at? You at the restaurant?
Yes, I'm in a restaurant. I'm just step outside in the car and listen to you guys at least for half hour.
Oh, okay. Good, good. How do we sound down there?
Right now, we start to be busy. But the rain, it's good. But tonight we have rain again.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yep, definitely so.
The humidity be 66, temperature be around 72, 75 tonight. That's good. And then the whole week will rain. Maybe Saturday and Sunday we have good weather.
Yep. So Cafe Positano, of course, is the greatest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida, folks. And Pasquale and his brother Roberto really put out some great dishes. And they have both sit-down, fine dining, casual dining. They also have a full bar, entertainment on the weekends, ladies' night on Thursday night. And they take reservations for parties or just, individual or a couple.
Let's do something fun. You did already. Who said that?
I'm going to be doing that in the next half hour.
Okay, let's do one first. I do one first.
Okay. Yes. All right, you want to run a contest of your own? All right, what do we got?
Yes. If anybody know my name, my first name and last name, they get one gift certificate, and I help you guys. My last name is Barba. My first name is Pasquale. call in and say the name of Pasquale Barba. You win the first gift certificate. So the second one, I make very, very easy, but I don't say. The capital of Italy. That's very simple.
Okay, all right.
Anybody go on internet, Google, the capital of Italy, and you guys win another gift certificate.
All right, that sounds like fun. All right, so the first person simply to call up and say, hey, I want that gift certificate from Pasquale Barba of Cafe Positano.
And they know the capital of Italy.
But no, that'll be the second one.
Oh, that's the second one?
That's
okay.
The second one. So basically the first caller to get in here, you're almost guaranteed one, but then the second contest.
Oh, the second one's really hard.
Yeah, we're going to give away another these are $20 gift cards, good off $20 off any of your purchase at Cafe Positano.
And then you got to make one off yours.
So yeah, we'll be doing that. Tonight we're going to do a Who Was That? But
And the fourth one. And the fourth one will be the person called him. You take just the name for everybody, and you make the interesting call, what it really makes sense of something. That's where you guys give another gift certificate.
Okay, I got the idea. The caller with the most interesting comments.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to do just
that. Would be you, Pasquale.
No. The one I want to do, I was trying to say anyway. You guys was talking about. In Oklahoma, the one that killed the lady got caught on the head.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And that's what I don't understand. And Obama want to take the guns away for people. What's going on, man? I think Obama need to go on TV now and say everybody need to have a gun.
Yeah. Well, that's what stopped this guy.
We need to check the background. We cannot give a gun to crazy people. I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah, that's already the policy, but you're absolutely right. But yeah, and if this guy had gone back into that workplace and shot that woman with say an AK-47 or AR-15, that would have been all over the news, buddy. Yep. So you're so right about that, Pasquale.
And what I don't understand, Obama, why he's so scared. Well, the last video I saw on Facebook about these crazy people, they said they want to go after Obama and after Obama's daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like every president. They get a lot of threats, perhaps this one more than any other. I don't know, but certainly there
are. A lot fewer.
Is that right? He gets fewer
threats than George Bush by far.
Is that right? Fewer death threats than George Bush by far. Imagine that. All right. Well, Pasquale, thanks.
I mean, if I catch one of these people, I don't call to the head, but I promise you I will make a nice roast for the weekend. We call a heist special for the weekend.
Oh. All right. Well, we appreciate it, Pasquale.
And all right.
We'll be in Tuesday night to see you guys this week,
all
Tuesday
right.
night.
Enjoy the evening, guys.
All right. And thanks for the gift cards that we're going to be giving away for you.
Good job, guys.
Thank you. And thank you for being a sponsor of ours. We couldn't do the show without you. And Pasquale's been there for going on 4 years now, folks.
That's right. Everybody in the whole area loves him.
It's totally extraordinary when it comes to this type of business.
Just going back to the issue of...
But wait a minute. Let me check with Nick. Did you get all that? Yeah, he's got it. Nick's got it under control. So the first caller that called and said Pasquale Barba is our sponsor at Cafe Positano, the second caller, the second card goes to the first person who knows what the capital of Italy is.
Chicago.
Yeah, and then the third gift card tonight is going to go to the winner of our Who Said That, or Who Was That contest. And the fourth card we're going to award to the person that has the best comments of the night. And even though you haven't heard them so far, Charlie Diuto, he's called and made some comments that I thought were pretty good. So you're going to have to top that. But we welcome you to give those calls. And once again, thanks to Pasquale. By the way, their phone number down there is 407-774-8080. That's at Cafe Positano, 407-774-8080.
But if you want to win those cards, you call
407-774-8255. Which is 407-774-TALK. So get on the phone lines and get Nick to be busy back there. Okay. Yesterday morning, Carl and I had the opportunity to be at a breakfast where Pastor Rafael Cruz was the guest speaker. And we got to chat with him beforehand. And he's a very approachable man, a very dedicated man, a very purposeful man, but for very friendly man. And the presentation that he gave, I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't know really what to expect. Lair and I did have the opportunity to interview him on the show. I believe it was Thursday, wasn't it, Lair? And we got sort of a feel, you know, from where he was coming from. But the way this man was able to tie the history of this country together with this, the impact of the Judeo-religion tradition on it, and where we got to where we are today, was just, I was overwhelmed. And the man, if Ted Cruz does choose to run for president, and by the way, I told Rafael, if he does, he's got our support down here. But if he does choose to run for president, Rafael Cruz could be a very powerful secret weapon for the man.
I'm sorry, Chris. I'm glad you said that, because honestly, the sense that I get is almost as if they're doing a 1-2 punch on the nation, but in a good way. I mean, you have a man that's fighting in the Congress, and you have a father who his speech was so much better. And this isn't to demean the man in any way, but it was so much better than I thought it was going to be, just because he was able to weave in the historical context, biblical context, the founding of our nation, just mix it all in for one great speech that left you just feeling convicted and as though you needed to do more, particularly if you were people of faith. But the sense that I got, Chris, was I was like, this, I almost feel as though this is a 1-2 punch. Ted Cruz already has someone for him, is stumping for him with the base. You need not go further than his father to understand this man is the absolute real deal. So I looked at it, and I don't know that they're intentionally doing that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying I believe that's going to be the effect.
Well, I believe that they both understand the root of the problem that our nation is suffering right now. And let me make the point about him being a secret weapon, and then I'll get to that problem. And what I mean by secret weapon is, if you think back to one of the main groups that helped Ronald Reagan get elected and then reelected, if you remember, there were basically two groups that were attributed to Ronald Reagan's victory. One were they called them what, the Blue Dog Democrats or the Southern
right.
Democrats.
Right.
And the other was something called the Something Coalition. Do you remember that, what that was?
Yeah, the religious?
Christian Coalition. Ralph right. Reed and all that stuff,
yeah,
right?
Correct, right.
They were able to motivate Christians to get out and vote. And that is what Rafael Cruz is trying to do. He talked about the statistics on our show Thursday. He brought this up the other day as well, of the Christians in this country. And he says this holds true for both Catholics and Protestants from his discussions with Catholics. And that is about half of them are registered to vote, and about half of those actually vote. So some 25% of Christians in this country are actually accomplishing or carrying out their biblical duty
And yes, he made it very clear that Christians have a biblical duty to participate in the choosing of their leaders. And it comes out very early in the Bible, by the way. It comes out in Exodus chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, where it basically spells out a republic form of government, where you choose leaders of the thousands, leaders of the hundreds, leaders of the tens.
Right.
In other words, you have exactly the form of government that our founding fathers put together. As Pastor Cruz pointed out, basically Exodus 18:21-22 is Article 1, Section 8 and of the Constitution and the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. It's exactly what it is. And if we can motivate enough Christians to get out and vote, the Democrats would never stand a chance, if you understand those numbers. We're talking about almost 100 million people in this country that consider themselves to be Christians, active Christians. So we're talking about 25 million of them actually voting. If we could add another 25 of that 100 million, no one could beat us. No one. And yet you got a bunch of Christians out there running around, not thinking or caring, perhaps, that it's any of their business. But as Pastor Cruz pointed out, it's not really their fault. It's not even the fault of the politicians. It's not even the fault of the media. It is the fault of the people in the pulpit, because they have sat silently by while the church has been under assault pretty much for 100 years. But certainly the gains that have been made against the church have really come in the past 50 or 60 years, when we have basically washed ourselves, if you will, washed our hands of the Bible and religion in the public arena. And there is no provision, as he pointed out, in the Constitution that separates church and state. It all goes back to a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist Association, where he was basically reassuring them that the purpose of the Constitution and the First Amendment was to prevent what they had in England. It was not to prevent religion from playing a role in public life. It was not meant to be that at all. As a matter of fact, our founding fathers, almost all of them to a man, said in one form or another, this form of government will not survive without the Judeo-Christian foundation underneath it. You have to have that moral ethic, because it requires the cooperation of people to work.
And even the deist of the day agreed with that sentiment.
That's right. So, and then he exhorted pastors, and this is really what he's going around, is he's exhorting pastors to get on the ball. You know, quit going to the beauty parlors, Joel Osteen, to get your hair permed, and get in the pulpit and get people motivated to get out and save this country by reestablishing its foundation. That is what we need. Not a bunch of popular, you know, book writing, pretty looking, pretty boys who simply want to have the greatest flock. Well, you got a worthless flock if all they're doing is sitting there laughing at your half-hearted jokes. You got a worthless flock, Joel Osteen. You got a worthless flock, Rick Warren. Because all you're trying to do is fit in to the mammon scheme of things, and not be true to your faith and your duty as a call and your calling as a pastor. You are leading your sheep off a doggone cliff. And people like Rafael Cruz recognize that, and that is going to be the source of the salvation of our country. When we come back, I'll tell you more. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to us live tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. We're still waiting for someone to call us and tell us the capital of Italy and win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano.
Did someone get the Pasquale's name right?
Not yet. So just call us and tell us who Pasquale is.
His first and last name.
Yeah, that's right. 407-774-8255. $20 gift cards waiting for the asking.
And we won't give it away by saying his name is Pasquale Barba.
There you go. That's all you got to tell us. All right.
I want to go back to what I was talking about. I'm not the only one who sees the pastors as being a problem. And I've said this on the show before. I believe that the Christian pastors have been basically infiltrated by liberals, and they're not standing up for, and they're not fulfilling their obligation and their responsibility, which is to deliver the word and understand the word well enough to be able to deliver it and know that it is your responsibility to be involved in the social world, in the political world, if you will. Guess who gets it, by the way? Guess who understands this and takes advantage of it? Black churches. That's right. Yeah, that's right, they do. And it's very smart. They understand that they need to be involved. Now, unfortunately, they've tied their future, if you will, to the wrong party. They should not tie their future to either party. It was Malcolm X who called blacks chumps. Chumps was the word he used for voting continuously for a party who promises you the world but gives you nothing but dirt and subjugation. And so, you know, but nonetheless, black people, let me read you something from today's Orlando Sentinel, Sunday local news, and this goes to the heart of a question that Lair posed to Pastor Cruz the other day, where Pastor Cruz was on our show, and he said this again in the breakfast the other morning, that what churches need to be doing, and he didn't say some, he said all of them, you need to have a voter registration table in your lobby. You need to be getting your congregation registered to vote, and it should be there every week. It should be a permanent fixture. And he's so right. And they're there in the black churches. They are utilizing this technique, if you want to call it that. I read now from today's Orlando Sentinel, Sunday local news, page B2. This is the title of the article by Aaron Deslad, I guess it is. Despite reforms, Democrats plagued by low voter turnout. They're worried about the apathy that just seems to be plaguing the whole nation. Let me just read a couple of short paragraphs here. Dateline Tallahassee. In Orlando, a contingent of black ministers and political activists is gearing up to encourage young voters to cast ballots in honor of gunned down Trayvon Martin. In South Florida, they will be turning to Hollywood stars. It's part of a reactivated campaign effort centered on, quote unquote, souls to the polls on the final Sunday before the November 4th general election, when black churches across the state, get this, Lair, provide transportation to their members to early voting sites. In other words, when the church service is over, they load up on buses and in cars and they go down and they vote. Now, if black people can do it, why do white churches think for some reason that it is beyond their pale, it is beyond their obligation, it is beyond their duty, it is beyond the legality of their tax status? Well, let me tell you something. If your tax-exempt status is that important from you, get rid of it, because it is standing in the way of you doing your job.
I don't believe it's the tax status alone. It is an absolute fear. It is political correctness holding them down. And we'll get to more on the other side of the break. We just don't have time to go into it right now.
Halftime, the halfway 3-hour tour on the American Adversaries. Larry Adams here with Christopher Hart. Nostradamus is not with us tonight, but Johnny Guns is. Carl Jackson, Lucas with his head cam. And, of course, Mr. Nick is behind the glass.
We're going to go to Carl, but first we want to say congratulations to Tim and Ed, who got the first two $20 gift cards. All right, stick around, because we still have two to give away. We're going to be doing our Who Was That contest here in a few minutes, and then we're going to award one to the best caller of the night. We'll just call it that.
That's it. And Carl had made a good point during the break he wanted to bring up.
Well, you were beginning to make it during.
Basically, you know, we were talking about some of the perhaps feckless pastors that are for the sake of taxes, keeping their tax exempt status, aren't speaking out. But I believe it's more than just that. I believe there's a culture that's been risen up in our society where black churches are not fearful of the government because they have the media, they have Democrats on their side. Whereas a lot of white pastors, I believe, are afraid that they'll come under attack. They'll be vilified. They'll be ostracized, as Lucas Perry said during the break as well.
All right. Having said that, Johnny, I would like you to read from the Bible, from the Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, please.
You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
All right. First of all, the salt. If we don't preserve what we got nothing. All right, and then it's up to us to show the way. How can pastors do that when they are acquiescing to the forces of evil, which is basically what's at play here?
Sure.
You see, in terms of being persecuted and prosecuted, they should welcome it. They should, I don't want to use the word seek it, but they should wear it as a badge of honor. All they should be seeking in life, and this goes for each and every one of us, and Rafael Cruz said that this is what he seeks in life. All he seeks out of life is that when he enters the pearly gates, the Son of God looks at him and says, attaboy, job well done, my faithful servant. It matters not to God whether we succeed or whether we fail. It matters to God that we try. And if we do not try, we have already failed. And that is what the white pastors need to get through their heads. You see, being a white pastor at a decent-sized church gives you a pretty decent, comfortable life, does it not?
Sure.
That's not what they're supposed to be after, right? Joel Osteen needs to be bigger than a wavy hair permanent. All right, before we get to the... Who was that contest? Let's go to the phone lines. We've had a couple folks waiting. Our dear friend, we'll go to Officer, our dear friend Officer Steve first, who wants to talk about the Oklahoma quote-unquote workplace violence, a terrorist attack. I prefer to call it Officer Steve.
I don't think it's officially been labeled anything yet. I think they're kind of testing the waters to see what's going to go well in the public.
Correct.
The public.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
So first off, with the Oklahoma, thank God. I mean, it sounds horrible, but thank God there was only one because it could have been a lot worse.
Sure.
Yep.
I mean, it's horrible. But don't hear a lot from the anti-gun crowd on this one.
Nope.
But with the spirit of that, I mean, I definitely think we need to have a banning on all butcher knives.
Well, yeah. I was wondering when somebody was going to get around to that.
Let me tell you something.
Over 10 inches. Is not covered in the Constitution, obviously. They need to be registered, regulated, everything like that.
Yeah, you're going to have a concealed permit to carry even a pocket knife, I reckon.
Let me tell you something, Steve. I tweeted that out, and I got some nasty responses back to that. So be careful.
Yeah, I've never been complained on before. Okay.
All right. Well, I tell you what, that puts you definitely in the running for the best call of the night anyway. So,
thanks a lot.
All right. We appreciate you so very much, Officer Steve. Thank you. And thanks for being in our audience. We appreciate it. And we got your information. So who knows? You may get that $20 gift card tonight. All right. Let's go to Michael, and then we're going to do our Who Was That contest where somebody else can win a $20 gift card. Michael, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, Chris, we got to get you some decaf, brother.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm just about levitating in here tonight, buddy.
I agree with you. And there was a guy named Pat Robertson previously in his day, and I didn't agree with everything he did, but you knew where he stood for, and he put religion out there. And I tell you, when we don't have that, we create a vacuum.
Yep.
And then something comes in to fill that vacuum that is totally opposite of what we want.
Yep.
Our churches today, they're not speaking out against these beheadings by these Islamists.
Not like
they
should.
And our news media are calling it execution.
Yeah.
So the last time I thought about it, to be executed, you had to be indicted, tried, convicted, and condemned.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a murder. Where are Christian people coming out and saying, hey, this is murder?
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And Rafael Cruz also talked yesterday, and I had heard stories of this before, but he put it in a really good light. He talked about the Black Robe Regiment, and he's basically, in essence, calling for a new Black Robe Regiment. Basically, our founding fathers were all of them very religious men, almost to a man.
Absolutely. They started with a prayer.
Exactly. And 29 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were ordained, seminary-trained ministers, or could have been ministers. And what they understood was, and as one of the men put it, and his name was Pastor, I believe, it, Peter M. Merlin?
Mueller, I believe.
He basically... was one of the the British feared what they called the Black Robes because these men were organizers of the revolution. And as they would put it, and as this pastor put it, he stood up in front of his church one morning wearing a black robe from collar to ankle. And he said, there's a time for preaching, and there's a time for war, and there's a time for fighting. And the time for fighting has come. And he took off his robe, and underneath his robe, he had on his Minuteman uniform and his musket. And he said, I want you men to stand up and follow me. We're going to go fight. 300 members of his church, men, all stood up and followed him into the fight.
You see, I've got you calm, and you're doing great. But here's another thought, okay? Why is it that these liberals think that they can tell me what I should do and should not do, but my pastor can't make a comment against the liberals?
Because your pastor is acting cowardly. And it's hard for me to say that, but that's exactly what it is. A calling to the ministry is not supposed to be a lifestyle. Or be there because you like counseling people. It is to be the shepherd of the flock. And the shepherd of the flock basically has to do all the dirty work.
And it's called leadership.
Exactly. Exactly. And not expect to get a lot of thanks in the process. You see? And as I said, and the most inspirational thing that Pastor Cruz said to me, and I've always kind of had this feeling anyway, and that is that you simply were in the game to play as hard as we can play, do the best we can do, and you let the chips fall where they may. So that when we enter the gates of heaven, that God, the Son of God, looks at us and says, you did your best. That's all absolutely. I wanted. That's all I wanted. I was going to take care of the rest.
Well, absolutely. Great show. I want to say one more thing. The name of the TV show is Madam Secretary, not Madam President. And at the end, it says the end of Madam Secretary. So that's what we need to happen.
Amen to that. All right. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate
Thanks,
you being
guys. On. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. All right. It's time for our Who Said That contest tonight, which I'm twisting around into a Who Was That. And once again, you'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a My Liberty Threads T-shirt. My Liberty Threads T-shirts are American made and they got American proud slogans on them. They're really quality T-shirts and they're really feel good to wear one. So you'll get a T-shirt. And don't forget to give Nick LoCicero your size so we can get the proper size to you. And for you folks who have not received your T-shirts yet, it's because I was out of that size, and I'm getting those sizes, and we will get them to you. All right, for our contest tonight, you simply tell me who the person is that I'm looking for. You call us up at 407-774-8255. And this came right out of Rafael Cruz's talk yesterday morning. And if you really know your history, you're going to know this one. The only caveat is if you've won recently, please step aside at least for a while and see if somebody else who hasn't won recently can get it tonight. Who was Paul Revere on the way to see, and what was this person, the night of his famous ride? He was on his way to see somebody that night. You know, the famous ride of Paul Revere. He was on his way to see somebody. We want to know that person's name, and we want to know what that person was. Okay? All right? Who was Paul Revere on his way to see, and what was that person? All right. If you've been paying attention tonight, you can probably get half of it at least. All right. 407-774-8255 is the number. I want to kind of move out of this now as we begin to move on through the show. But as I said, Pastor Rafael Cruz is a man who has it going. He was a Cuban immigrant. He was tortured by it wasn't Castro regime. It was the Batista regime. And nonetheless, though, he understands that what we have in this nation is a spiritual deficit. And that the answers to the problems of this country, for instance, he said that they did a survey, was it, Carl? 90,
yeah, Barna Report survey.
Yeah, 90% of the pastors in this country believe that the answers to the ills the country faces can be found in the Bible. When it came to were they willing to teach that in their church, only 20%. 10%, I'm sorry. 10%. That is unacceptable. Those other pastors do not belong in the pulpit. They are there for something other than the spiritual growth of their flock and the spiritual foundation and stability of this very nation. And if they do not begin to speak up,
they will soon have no church. They will have no flock.
I'm sorry. There was a gentleman that attended yesterday that was a pastor, a missionary, and he was trained, I forget what country, but he originally went to Moody Bible Institute. He went out of the country to serve as a missionary. They sent him back as a missionary to America, to Americans. So that goes to show you that they were concerned about where America's Christians and Christianity was going.
And rightfully so. It's a shame. They should rightfully be concerned. Because people who know better know that the foundation, the Judeo-Christian heritage that this country is founded on, collapses. The country collapses, and chaos rules the planet. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. But don't be daunted by the task. And I believe Raphael also said this, at least in as many words, at least he implied it, and that is that, hey, if God is going to give us a challenge or a task, why not have a big one worthy of a hard fight?
Sure.
I mean, I want the hardest task God can put on me. I don't want an easy task so that when I go to heaven— hopefully I will, and God looks at me, Jesus looks at me, he's just going to say, good job, kid. That's all I want to hear, you know, because then I'll know I would have done the right thing. Anything else, I'm putting my interests ahead of God's, you see, because he's the one who holds the plan in his pocket, not me, not liberals, not Barack Obama, for sure, not Barack Obama. All right, we're looking for who Paul Revere was on his way to see the night of his famous ride, and what was that person? If you know the answer, 407-774-8255. Looks like we've got a caller on the line now, and just enough time to take this caller. Is it Mara? Mara, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, is it Mara? Am I pronouncing?
Myra.
Okay, Myra, thank you for calling. By the way, I had something returned, so make sure you, whether you win or not tonight, you give Nick your address, because evidently I got it wrong last time.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Samuel Adams.
No, that is a very good guess, though. He was not on his way to see.
He was one of them. Was one of them.
All right.
John Hancock, then.
No, you're going away. You're going away. Well, yeah, he was there, too.
No, there were three people he was going to see. That was two of the three.
Well, he was going to see this one person, but John Hancock and Sam Adams were there. Given that, I will give you at least a $20 gift card. That's technically not who I was looking for, but because...
Dr. Joseph Warren?
No,
but you're...
You're close. You're really close. You want to try one more time?
Those were the three that came to my mind.
All right. Well, you're really close. John Hancock and Sam Adams were there that night.
At least maybe what profession could I've already the third person was in.
You guys are so dancing around.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm impressed that she got those two.
Yeah, I'm very impressed.
Well, Myra, you're going to at least get a $20 gift card.
Woo-hoo!
To Cafe Positano. All right. So
wasn't easy.
All right. So make sure you stay online and give that information to Nick to make sure we get it right. And if nobody else gets it right, we'll make sure we'll get you make you the winner. But John Hancock and Sam Adams were there that night, but he was riding to this person's house to see him. We want to know who Paul Revere was going to see, the house where John Hancock and Sam Adams were, who was hosting them that night, and what was that person? If you know, give us a call. All right, and we're doing some full body slams tonight, folks, on the pastors of the country, bless their hearts. I'm Christopher Hart, by the way, along with Lair Adams. Nostradamus isn't with us tonight. He'll be back in this week, and Johnny Guns is in his chair, and he's got some great stories lined up for later on in the show.
We're going to have some fun.
All right, Carl Jackson is still here. We are up on Ustream TV on the American Adversaries channel, if you will. Go to Ustream.tv, type in American Adversaries. There we will be. Thanks to Lucas Paris in the head cam. Nick LeCicero's on the bridge, juggling the phones in there.
there, so give him a call. And we still do not have a winner, although Myra got real close, that's a hint, when she was trying to tell us who Paul Revere was on his way to see the night of his famous ride, and what was that person. All right, and but right now we're going to go to Eva. Eva, you don't want to try to get in on the contest?
No, I'm not that smart tonight.
Okay, all right.
What I want to make a comment about your comment, you said about the survey about the ministers.
Yes.
That tells you that 80% of the ministers are carnal-minded, and 20% are spiritual. And the reason is because God, in His Word, says if He will equip you for whatever job He puts before you,
right,
and they are doing their job in the form of their own. God's not leading them, because God will show you what to do.
Exactly. Exactly. The Bible tells them what to do, and 90% of them know that.
They're not doing it. They're too much in the world. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
And
they're carnal-minded.
Right, and that's what I've been trying to say, and that's what Pastor Cruz said.
But you've got, as a servant of Christ or a child of Christ, you've got to know the difference between carnal-mindedness and spiritual. And if you don't, you're letting ungodly men lead you.
Well, you're absolutely right. Part of the problem is the flock, if you will.
And it's wide open, because I was sick recently, and I had a CNN come to help take care of me, and I was talking about the abortion issue. Everywhere I go, I talk about the abortion issue.
Yeah.
And I asked her if she believed in abortion. Naturally, she said. I asked her where she went to church. She told me. But she had not been taught about the abortion. To me, if a pastor don't emphasize that, he's not doing God's work, because more innocent than a baby?
And that's exactly what Pastor Rafael Cruz said yesterday morning, did he not, Carl?
Yeah, and there's something of note as well, Ava, that we should pay attention to. You consider these, and please understand, I'm not trying to give these pastors any excuses, because you guys are right on, but consider all of the Supreme Court decisions that have come down. In 19, I believe there was 47. There was something in 62, 63. There was Epperson versus Arkansas in 1968. All of these cases did some serious damage to the Christian faith when liberal judges literally banned prayer, Bible reading, invoked evolution in the classroom. All these type of things took place. And I really think a lot of pastors are simply, and it's their fault, they're uneducated as to the power that they have in the government. So they themselves have been blinded by this nonsense of separation of church and state that absolutely does not exist, because they listen to the news, whatever, and honestly, they're not giving what Pastor Cruz said, the whole counsel of God.
Yeah, I think it goes back.
Exactly, and I want to commend you, Carl, because I, over the time that you have been, Chris and them introduced you, you've grown. And you've grown in the spirit.
Thank you.
And just like God is working in your life, just like I heard yesterday with your people that substitute about you being co-host of the Ralph Reed. I mean, that's God's hand.
Well, actually, he's going to be the MC for the Courage to Stand event, which features Gary Bauer at the Florida Family Policy Council dinner coming up Saturday, October the 11th. And if you'd like to get tickets, folks, you can purchase them online at flfamily.org. Thanks, Eva. We appreciate you being out there.
Bye-bye.
And glad to hear that you're better. We're always concerned when you don't call us for a while. All right, let's go now to Sherry. Sherry thinks she may know who Paul Revere was on his way to see that famous night. Sherry, thank you for being out there.
Okay, Reverend Jonah Clark.
Oh, man.
You got it.
I knew she would knock it out of the park.
Wait, I got to ring the bell like Nostradamus does.
You know
that was
the
easy.
House that he was living in was owned by John Hancock?
That I did not know.
No, I didn't know that.
It was his boyhood house. His uncle adopted him when his parents died.
Yeah,
and then when his father, he was a shipbuilder, and when his father died, his uncle died, John Hancock inherited that, but he was out doing other things, and so Reverend Jonah Clark was living at his house.
Yeah, and he was a pastor.
Pastor, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely right. So you got it right, and they hit the nail on the head, Sherry.
Okay.
All right. And
can I say one more thing?
You sure can.
Okay. A lot of the words and the ideas of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution came from about, and there's a book out on it. I don't know if it's in print now today. I know it's probably a collector. But the majority of the things that they put in the Constitution and all the other things that they had came from a collection of series of sermons from the pastors for about the 35, 40 years before the Declaration of Independence was even written.
You're absolutely right.
They have a synopsis of that in a book called The 5,000 Year Leap. So.
Yes,
oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I never read that one.
But you're absolutely correct. It is sermons that they have been given for decades in this country.
So it comes from Christianity?
Absolutely.
Comes from church?
Absolutely. And cannot, our form of government will not survive without that foundation.
I know. It's in a lot of their writing.
Right. And that's why it is up to us to be the salt and the light. We must preserve the foundation and show the way forward. And if pastors aren't willing to step up and do it, we need to get rid of them and find those who will. And that's what Rafael Cruz is doing. That's what we've been preaching here for a long time, and we'll keep doing it. Sherry, thanks so much for being out there.
Night,
we appreciate
guys.
You
thanks
being
very much.
And Sherry and Eva have been there since day one, and we really appreciate them for that. All right, we really appreciate you folks for being with us, and please stick around for one more hour. And we're going to have Sunny, our California glow girl, in Arizona coming up next. And we're going to talk about cougars on the prowl in L.A. So what else is new, right? Well, this has got an interesting twist to it. We'll also get her take on the beheading in Oklahoma. And Martine Rothblatt, the woman gone man or man gone woman, something like that. We'll be right back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. As we enter the third hour of our three-hour Sunday evening tour, you are listening to the American Adversaries live on AM 660. The Answer, 407-774-8255 is the number. We got a whole another hour to go, so give us a call if you are of the mind. We spent a great deal of tonight's show talking about Pastor Rafael Cruz and his exhortations to us, and in particular pastors, to be the salt and the light for our society and for our people and for this world. And I tell you, a man who is exactly that is John Butler Book. He is the kind of pastor that Rafael Cruz says that we need everywhere, and I wholeheartedly agree. And the great thing about Pastor John Butler Book, folks, is that you can listen to him as soon as our show is over. Go up the dial to 950 WTLN, and tonight his guest is going to be Sheriff Grady Judd, Polk County Sheriff, famous Polk County Sheriff, and they're going to be discussing the medical marijuana amendment, which is on this ballot coming up in November. So Sheriff Grady Judd on Pastor John Butler Book's show, and as I said, he is a shining example of the kind of pastors that we need, men who aren't afraid to get involved in the political arena and understand that it is part of their responsibility as a pastor to spread the word of God everywhere, especially in the public arena. And he indeed is trying to be the salt and preserve the foundation of our Judeo-Christian heritage and show the light, show the way to better our country and get back on the path that we need to be on.
All right. Speaking of past beyond, we need to get on the path to California, if you will. It is time for Sunny. That is Patricia Summerlin, our California glow girl, who is presently residing in Arizona. Sunny, how you doing tonight, baby?
I'm good. How are you, Chris?
Pretty good. Is it dried out there? It's all of a sudden got real wet back here.
Oh, it got really wet here, boy. We had 3 touchdowns of monsoons yesterday, and
wow.
I think that was the end of the monsoonal season here, but it almost, wow, I thought it was going to be anti-M, take me away. It felt like this whole building was going to go up. It was scary. I was literally on the floor with the cats, and we actually had flooded inside my apartment, so I'm there with towels and everything. This Cali girl was shaking for once, you know, and I don't get scared. That's why I'm a wrestler. I actually have the nerve to get in that ring and, you know, throw people around, but this was not fun.
And then, now, you live pretty much all your life in Los Angeles where, you know, earthquakes.
We had shake, rattle, and roll.
Yeah.
And I think when I was little, that was the biggest. So for me, again, yeah, hurricane-type monsoonal weather, no. No.
All right. Well, I've ran across a story about California this week that kind of caught me off guard. I don't know if it should have, but it's about lonely cougars looking for love in Southern California. And the cougars that first obviously jumped into my mind came from the television shows, but that's not what it meant. It's talking about actual cougars. I didn't know that mountain lions and cougars lived in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I guess they do in the hills. I actually was researching. The funny thing is, I got cougars like, you know, like my age. I'm like, cougars looking for love. And it literally said that, though. And I'm like, okay, well, I know it's got to be there somewhere. But, yeah, we also have bears and, you know, oh, my, lions, tigers, and bears, oh, my. And they seem to be hungry. And I guess it's interesting because they have this interbreeding going on now with these mountain lions and cougars, which makes them more dangerous.
Yeah. And now most of them have been captured and tagged and released.
Yeah.
And some of them are basically have become more or less celebrities. For instance, this article talks about cougar P22, known to his fans as the Hollywood Lion. After a photograph in a National Geographic captured him prowling in front of the Hollywood sign in Griffith Park. Is that the sign that's on the side of the hill, the big Hollywood sign?
It sure is, and that's where I always hike to, that I sent you pictures of in my, you know, just a month ago, where I'd love to go hike, and I missed it dearly. But right there, and fortunately, we weren't up against any, you know, but I guess they do come down as low as, you know, right there where the houses are. It's pretty scary.
Wow.
And they're hungry, like I said, did I? It's like, and then you have the bears. We just had the bears, I think, 2 months ago, and these were nice-sized bears, but they're still lurking. You know, here we just have the little scorpions, which I was faced against one of those the other day, and a lizard, which got in my house, which wasn't fun, between that and the cat. I'm like, oh, no.
I bet the cats were having a blast.
Oh, you should see me. I'm taking a little stick trying to whack it out before my cats ate it, you know. I'm like, no, don't eat it. Please, please don't eat it.
Yeah, but you want to stay away from those scorpions. Ooh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Even though I am one, I will recommend.
Yeah, well, if you happen to run across one and it gets the better of you, put some Roxy Pacifics on it right away.
Exactly. Yeah, deadly, you know, most of them. Yeah.
Are you a scorpion?
I sure am. November 12th.
Does that mean you have a curly tail?
Ooh, yes.
Oh, okay.
A curly, sexy tail. And I wear one on my back. I have a lady scorpion that I wear proudly next to the American Eagle with the American flag.
Awesome.
That is on my back.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Love to see that.
American adversaries all the way, guys.
Yeah, we love to see that.
Yes.
Listen, there's a couple other things I want to get your take on. The first is the woman in Oklahoma who was beheaded by the Muslim extremist.
Oh, my God.
How is that being portrayed in Arizona? Is that being, is it even much in the media there?
Well, you know, to be honest, it hasn't much in the last couple of days. Here, it seems, on our Arizona 12 local news, it is the local stuff, which is the flooding and the rains that we've had here and the damage that has occurred you know, a couple crazy incidences here with murders and stuff, local rapes. Seems to be up here easier in this desert area.
So it's not getting much play, in other words.
No,
it's not getting much play here either.
Guys, I haven't, to be honest, with this new job, haven't had a lot of time to catch the news on any anywhere.
Well,
you know?
I don't think you would have found it much on there anyway.
No.
It's being tremendously underreported. And
yeah.
I think part of it is because it's Muslim extremism and the media is loath to actually tell us the truth about that. And part of it is the guy used a knife and cut the woman's head off instead of blowing her to bits or shooting her with a gun.
Right. Well, but what they're saying is that, the woman killed a man transported to the hospital with multiple gunshot wounds on Thursday in what police said was a fight at the Moore, Oklahoma food plant. The incident seemed to be over. The man who was shot is believed to be the suspect in the stabbing. He was, the guy who shot him was an off-duty officer.
Yeah,
he responded to the call, which is great.
Well, no, he was an executive at the company, mm-hmm. and he is a volunteer sheriff's deputy and carried a concealed weapon.
And good for him.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
He got him. He's going to survive this schmuck, but you know what? We should put him up against the wall and behead him like his own, that he was trying to convert, I guess, these guys to Islam.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, this should be getting a lot more play than it is getting.
Right. I do believe so, but I think it's still under investigation. They're trying to find out if it is related to what's going on back there with the ISIS and all the beheadings that's occurring right now.
Yeah, well, it's the local officials asked the FBI to come in and look at it because of Facebook postings and things that made it appear as though, to them at least, that this may have been some sort of terrorist or certainly a Muslim extremist act.
Sure.
And, the cutting off of the head is prescribed, you know, basically by Muhammad. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And
that's horrible. God, just the thought of that and that poor woman.
Yeah.
And she probably didn't even see it coming. This guy was just so fast, to my understanding, and went in. Well, I guess he stabbed her several times before the actual beheading, which is just horrific.
Yeah. And then was proceeding to stab another woman and presumably going to do the same thing to her when he was finally shot. And he has been apprehended. He is still alive. So perhaps he will tell us something, too.
And no one wants to admit that terrorism has hit our shores.
Oh, yeah. And I think what they're trying to do is more or less inoculate us against it. Is that the right word? So that when these instances happen, it's just sort of, you know, it's just
like
another
hush.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's just another one of those
infiltrated. Let's just say, if that's the right word, into our society in a big way.
Right.
Of course they are.
Exactly. And this is proof that not only are they here, but they are breeding their hate here as well.
And they're trying to be portrayed as normal people or normal citizens, however they get in. I have no idea, but they get in. And look at 911, for instance. Look at how they managed to pull that off.
Well, they got here legally. Okay. Yeah, and a lot of the Muslims are coming to this country because our government is bringing them here.
Yeah.
There's a number of Somalis that they're bringing now, and they're taking them to Wyoming. And people in Wyoming don't know what to do.
Saying. Bye, Obama. You know, we love you, but we've had enough.
All right.
All right.
Well,
that's for sure.
Yeah. We got another story before we let you get out of here that we just got to get your take on.
This was a humdinger, boy.
Oh, I'm telling you what. You know the one we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Martine what was it again, Johnny?
Rothblatt.
Yes, Rothblatt. Yeah.
Yes, that's an interesting word or last name for her or him or creature or
it.
What they are calling.
This person has been known as the highest paid woman executive in the country. It turns out that she was a man. Now, my question to you is, as a woman, how do you feel about this person getting accolades for being the first female to do something or be this female accomplished this, and it turns out that the person is not really a female? Does that upset you? Do you think that takes away from female progress, or do you think it's just part of the game?
I think now it is part of the game, unfortunately, because our society is
But I want to ask your opinion of it. Are you upset that a man basically is getting credit for something that a woman should get credit for?
I would say so. And considering that this person does look like a man to me, still looking at it, but knowing that this person cut off and circumcised back in the early 1990s before the transgender was even really you know, in progress as it is today and a norm society, as we like to say. In fact, one of my tenants that I just actually rented to is a transgender, and her name is Veronica, and she's very nice. And I see how hard it is for them to progress a normal life, the paranoia and just unsure that they're going to be targeted. She goes, I might get targeted here, Trish. And I go, she's put a camera in her window. So you know what? I think the money, when it comes, unfortunately, they call it the Jew and the Jewess. Is he or it must be Jewish? I'm not sure. But as an entrepreneur and a space lawyer, and she has found the treatment for pulmonary hypertension. Is that true?
Evidently,
this is some big stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't hate on that because, again, this is something we need in our society, whether it's a he, she, or it. Yeah, well, you know, it's not going to, no harm, no foul to me. You know, it is kind of frustrating because it was like pulling the blind eye. But again, you know, what is your guys' view on this?
Well,
you are men. I'm a woman. Let's hear it.
Well, what if you're competing in the Olympics? Would it be okay for women to compete against transsexuals? They used to be a man, and now they have this operation, but they've got the body like a man. Is that fair to put them against women?
The way it's going to be. Well, so is it fair? Not necessarily.
But
no.
These are the questions that aren't even being addressed as we are going down this path.
Yeah.
These are the moral dilemmas that we're going to be facing, if you will.
Exactly, because it's coming into our society.
And by the way, people who go through these sexual transition operations have an extremely high suicide rate. So I'm not so sure.
The highest of any group.
Exactly.
Right.
That what is going on is necessarily a healthy thing. Having said that, obviously we don't want to promote hate against any people. I mean, we want to be God loving Christians and
right.
you know, welcome and encourage people into the kingdom.
Yes.
But nonetheless, we do want honesty and above board. You know, we don't want to be under an illusion. If I were a woman, I'd be a little bit upset that a man basically was getting recognition that would have been due a woman. But that's me speaking as a man. But I appreciate your take on it. But these are the types of questions that, you know, that we're going to be faced with in this situation. But
and it's getting more and more, guys, unfortunately. And,
in any avenue
of sports athletics, we're facing that each and every
time. But
I wonder
how much of it is a fad type thing, especially when it comes to young people.
Let's hope not. That would not be a good fad.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. And yet,
it'd be like changing your fashion or your hair
right.
or something, but not your genitals. Come on, guys.
But that's
that
the way. But that's the way it is being approached by strict feminists and people in Hollywood. It is, you know, we can be what we want to be. And whatever God made us, if it's not what I wanted to be,
except you can't go back.
It's a mistake.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, anyway, we got to go for tonight, Sonny. But thanks. We appreciate your input. And
thank you, guys. Hopefully. Always enjoy my American emissaries.
Okay.
Sexiest bunch of men on the radio.
We love you too, girl.
And we are real men, and you are a real woman. And we will be right back. Hi, welcome back to the show, folks. As we come around the bend, get ready to come down the home stretch for our three-hour tour here on Sunday nights. You are listening to the American Adversaries. We are live on AM 660, The Answer. 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, folks, if you happen to miss one of our shows or would like to hear it again, you can even download it. Simply go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and check out the archive and take advantage of that. Okay, and don't forget, John Butler Book is going to have a great show. He's got it lined up for you tonight on 950 WTLN starting at 8 o'clock. He'll take you live till 9 o'clock. Tonight he's going to talk about the medical marijuana amendment that we'll be voting about on the ballot this November. And tonight he'll have Sheriff Grady Judd of Polk County
on his show. So that'll be very interesting. I'll be listening certainly in my car on the way home. And then don't forget, Armed American Radio is live on AM 660 from 8 to 11. So after John's show, you can come on back up to or down to AM 660, The Answer, and listen to Armed American Radio and those guys. And I'm sure they'll be talking about the incident in Oklahoma. All right. While we still have a little bit of time left in this segment, I want to remind you, please check out Roxy Pacifics, the all-natural kelp solution, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails your skin. And real easy to order it. Just go to roxypacifics.net. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. And this stuff is safe. You can use it anywhere. You can spray it your head from your head to your toes, inside and out.
Your mouth, your eyes, you can spray it right in your eyes. It will not hurt. It'll help get rid of a lot of eye problems.
Literally, from head to toe, inside and out. You can use it on children. Children can use it on children. You can use it on pets. And if pets could, they could use it on one another. All right, while we still have a little time, we have Myra back on the line. And Myra, thank you for calling again.
Yes, I just listening to you speak out about the status of church in America.
Yes.
Today, and how so many pastors are silent to
yep.
all that's going on.
Yep.
When you go back through our history and you look at our founding documents and the history of the men that wrote the original documents, and then you come through into the mid-1850s, it was the churches and the pastors, you know, like Lyman Beecher and his son Henry Ward Beecher, some
yep.
of the abolitionist preachers that
yep.
spoke out against the evils of slavery.
Yep. You're
yep.
absolutely right.
And what is it going to take? Because when you look at the last 50, 60 years, going back to Roe versus Wade, you know, with the abortion.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, see,
it seems like churches have been silent.
They have.
Since all of that began to evolve in our society, and you wonder, what is it going to take for the churches to really stand up and speak for this is what the Bible teaches?
I believe it starts with men like Pastor Rafael Cruz going around
yeah.
and extorting pastors to do what they have a responsibility to do. And then
right.
you have men like John Butler Book who are already doing it, who are already being the salt. Men like John have been the salt. Now we need more. We need more
right.
like him. And extorting pastors, going, and people can do the same thing, folks. You can go to your pastor and you can tell him, look, I want more guidance, and you can give it to me. As a matter of fact, you are the only one who can give it to me. And according to Pastor Cruz, and I believe I've said essentially the same thing on this show a number of times, the answer to our ills in this society will never be found in new politicians or parties or the political arena. It must come from the spiritual realm. It must
right.
come from the church. It must come from the pulpit. And if we do not have men and women who are willing to stand up and welcome the persecution, welcome the criticism, then they're in the wrong job, and we need to find somebody else. So a lot of it has to do with the pastors, but a lot of it also has to do with the flock demanding better leadership, spiritual leadership. Teach from the Bible. If you believe that the answers to society's ills are in the Bible, and 90% of the pastors in this country do, then more than 10% should be teaching it to their flock. And
right.
so guys like Pastor Rafael Cruz are right now really carrying the torch, and I hope that he's very successful in what he's doing. But the black churches are already doing this. Now, they're misguided, but at least they're doing it, so it can be done. And if they're afraid of anything, all they need to do is buck up and put a little more faith in their wallet and take a little bit of that money out. All right. Thank you so very much, Myra. We appreciate you very much for being out there. All right. When we come back, it's time for some WTF news. So you're not going to want to go away for that, because I'm sure there's going to be a few chuckles and probably even some guffaws when Johnny delivers it.
Now, is this a guffaw-free zone, Johnny?
Oh, my goodness. Can I live up to that?
You better have some guffaws in there now, folks. We have promised you folks some guffaws. All right, you don't want to go away. Guffaws are coming up. Yeah, that was Johnny B. Badden coming up. Now we have Johnny Shoot Gun. Is that? Well, actually, Johnny Guns.
Is that what I am?
Yeah, I guess. You know, Johnny,
is this part of the guffaws that we promised them?
That's right. Now, folks, I know you sit on your seat, and you may want to clean it up because there's guffaws coming. This is Johnny Gunn's portion of the show we call WTF News. And there's a reason, a very important scientific reason why it's called WTF News. Let them have it, Johnny. Let them know what it is.
That's because I do all my research on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays.
F.
That's right. I sleep through Monday and Tuesday to get to work on
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
All right. You know, we haven't done one of these in a long time, so I think...
Depends what one of these is.
You know what? We used to do the dumb criminal of the week. Mm. Well, we're going to bring that back, but put a little spin on it. This is our lucky criminal of the week. A gambler in Germany was saved from prison by a one-armed bandit. Police say that two officers carrying out routine checks at an arcade in West Berlin discovered that a man playing a slot machine faced an arrest warrant. He had been ordered to pay a 710-euro fine or go to prison for 71 days after resisting arrest during a previous incident. Police say that as officers informed the man that he faced arrest, the slot machine started to flash, and the beaming 37-year-old won a 1,000 euro jackpot, which the man paid his fine on the spot in cash.
For a criminal.
Good choice.
He must be living right, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell you what, if you go to Vegas.
What do I do with this money? Now, let's see here. I have these cops here. What do I do with this money?
Kind of like a Wonderful Life, right?
Yeah. Or maybe head down to the Seminole Hard Rock if you got an arrest warrant out for you.
There you go. All right.
All right, we're going to do story number two here. It talks about a new dating app. Aha, it's called Cuddler. And it's an app that matches you with people who live nearby and just want to cuddle. Mm. It works just like dating programs. You have a profile with your name and your photo, and you can send cuddle requests to people in your area. The recipient of said cuddle request then has 15 minutes to accept or reject you. The people behind Cutter ask that you keep things clean when you meet someone for a cuddle date. Unlike some other acts, Cuddler is strictly about PG-related experiences. That's what, according to the app's intro, it says, keep the cuddle a cuddle. After a session, you can rate someone's cuddling skills with an up or down voting system. The inspiration for all of this fun, according to the Cuddler website, says, our culture doesn't have a space for closeness without pressure. There's an underexplored time and a place for more gentle, no-pressure intimacy, and that's what Cuddler aims to help with.
Uh-huh.
If you're interested If you're interested in using Cuddler, all you need is a Facebook account and a phone. Currently, the Cuddler app doesn't reveal gender or age, so the filtering is done only through photos. Which it sounds a lot like the app that Lair Adams created called Smoocher.
All I can say is, for you fellas, look out for the Adams apple. You don't want to call up the Cuddler and get some Martine Rothblatt.
Yeah, Martine Rothblatt.
You're laying there cuddling, and all of a sudden you're going, hey, what's that?
Thumbs down.
Wow.
Thumbs down.
Whoa, I don't know about that one.
All right. If you'll allow me a little leniency here with our third story.
Do we ever?
Oh, here we go. If you like Jesus, pumping iron, cheating on your spouse, and turning a blind eye to scripture, there's a website for you.
Oh, no.
It's called Fitness Swingers.
Oh.
And it's the brainchild of Christy Parave and her husband, Dean, who began their swinging escapades when the two met a brazen couple at a Home Depot who blatantly asked them if they wanted to swing, said Christy. I was so naive, I thought they were talking about swing dancing. Afterwards, we went home and looked it up online, and it sounded exciting. The Florida couple are interested in sharing their beliefs and their spouses with others who feel the same. They started their online network 7 years ago, and the pillars of their relationship are a commitment to their faith, to fitness, and the ideals of the swinger lifestyle. Dean Parave told Barcroft Media that he doesn't think that his swinger lifestyle conflicts with his Christian beliefs. In fact, he kind of considers it a ministry. Says, quote, so far today, God hasn't told me, Dean, stop that. It's a sin. I don't want you to do that. Until he does that, I'm going to keep trying to help as many people as I can, unquote, and I hear WTF News. I'm going to try to help as many deans as I can with a little scripture here, kind of like Proverbs 6:32. You can write these down, look them up a little later. Romans 1:28-32 and 2 Timothy 3:1-7. Christy said that she needed a little convincing that it was moral at first, but now she's totally convinced that God is on their side. She says, quote, "I don't think God would be mad at what we're doing. At first I was conflicted, but the more we looked at it, it makes more sense to us." And you know what makes sense? Matthew 5:27-28, Galatians 5:19-21, Malachi 3-5, just to name a few.
I tell you what, if you want a litmus test for a church that needs a new pastor, that might be one of them.
but it continues on. The 44-year-old added that she felt mankind had been created of all things to frolic and fornicate with one another. Now, I just wonder how God feels about this whole thing. You know, if only maybe he said something about this topic, say, in commandment form. Oh, yeah, number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, Exodus 20:17. Now, I'm not as well-versed as Reverend Book is, but I think the message is pretty clear. If you're going to pump iron, keep your hands off another man's barbell.
Hey, she thinks God's on her side. No, I think that's the other guy on that side.
Okay, all right. We'll go from the gutter, if you will, to the dirt. Do you know that? Oh boy, it's going to be hard to top that. In Ventura, California, it is now a badge of honor to have a dirty car. Yes. Do you know how
from California would surprise me, Chris?
I'm the most honorable person.
I was going to say, you probably have one of those cars here where somebody is taking their finger and scratching it.
Wash me.
Well, in California, in Ventura especially, they're writing, "Don't wash me." And it has to do with the water shortage out there. So one way to show that you're a bona fide conservative, or I should say conservation-minded, liberal, and politically correct, you will have a filthy car, no matter what gets dropped on your car, including goose droppings and other type delights, if you will. So for you, those of you out there who hate washing your car, move to Ventura, California, and you'll be a hero. Speaking of cars, you know, forget about terrorism. We have a full-scale invasion, which is just about to hit this country. Yes?
Uh-oh.
An invasion
of
Trabants, or is it Trabants? Have you ever heard of a Trabant?
Trabant Martin?
For instance, the Trabant 601. Well, that's kind of close to being Aston Martin. The Trabant is the Russian-designed and built car that was actually built in East Germany, I believe, that was supposed to be the Soviet Union's version of the Volkswagen Beetle. And I'm sure you've seen the Trabants in the movies. They're these little tiny, kind of boxy little cars with two doors, and they're ubiquitous, or at least they used to be all over Europe. And they're these little squeaky cars that they got little squeaky horns, and they got a 26 horsepower motor, and they go around and they sound like a little scooter with the baffle off.
Yeah.
Well, they are coming to the United States because that the last ones that were produced are getting ready to be considered antiques and would be able to come to this country and not have the regulations that are keeping them out now. Basically, 25 years is the time limit, if you will, for a car to go that falls. These cars do not have the safety and in exhaust emissions controlling equipment on them that are required of cars built today. So right now, they're not allowed in the country. But once they become older than 25 years, they will be allowed into the country so that they will not have to abide by safety and emissions regulations here in the country. So if you want to, you know, get your dander up and buck City Hall, buck the climate, hysterians, then get yourself a Trabant 601. and you'll tool around town with 26 horsepower, making all kinds of noise and pollution and loving every minute of it.
Woohoo! 26 horsepower.
All right. Okay. Let's see. All right. All right. Well, that's all the WTF I had for you all tonight. But there is this, which is not so much WTF, but Bill Clinton, you know, went to what was it, Iowa last week, where Hillary, you know, was testing the waters for her presidential run, and it was Tom Harkin, I think, his going away, and they went to the steak fry, whatever. Well, when Bill Clinton got up to speak, guess what he talked about?
What's that?
Haiti.
Haiti.
Haiti. Why would Bill Clinton stand up and talk about Haiti at an event that was meant to highlight his wife running for president? What is going to happen? Why that? Well, watch the news, because whether they like it or not, it's probably going to eke out somewhere. But the situation in Haiti is very bad. The Clinton Foundation has raised a tremendous amount of money and is supposed to be overseeing the rebuilding of Haiti, and it's turned out to be a disaster. Clinton is a pariah in Haiti. He doesn't go there because he's not wanted down there. And now, to make matters worse, Aristide, Bertrand Aristide, who Clinton reimposed into power down there. If you remember when he was president, baby Doc Duvalier was down there, and there was mass protests going on, and Jimmy Carter and Colin Powell, I believe, were going down there to try to straighten things out, and finally got a deal where baby Doc would leave and Aristide would come back, and the United States was just about ready to invade Haiti. Well, it turns out Aristide was worse than any of them. He was the worst dictator, and was constantly killing and torturing his political opponents. He was the hero of Bill Clinton. Evidently, Bill Clinton feels like something's getting ready to break, and he needed to get out in front of the story.
Yeah.
So we will be watching very carefully the news over the next few weeks in regard to Haiti. This is the problem that Hillary Clinton has, Bill Clinton. He is at both her greatest asset, politically speaking, and her greatest liability, politically speaking. And if these things from the past begin to come back and re-haunt the Clintons, it's going to make her a less and less desirable candidate for Democrats, because they know that they got a problem with Barack Obama. They know they got a serious problem in terms of the brand, if you will, of the Democratic Party getting trashed by this president. And they are not going to be thrilled about looking toward the next candidate having a whole lot of baggage themselves. And Hillary Clinton is going to have a lot of baggage
already on her own
On her own, but also via Bill Clinton. And evidently Haiti may play a big role in that. And as I said, what they have done with the money that was supposed to be used to rebuild Haiti down there, I don't know. And a lot of other people don't know as well. But perhaps Bill Clinton knows. Just watch for Haiti to rear its head, if you will, in the political arena over the next few weeks. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on it for you, and if it doesn't rear its head, maybe we'll snatch it up our very selves. All right. It's almost time for the next break. When we come back, we're going to have Larry's closing comments. Always a treat for us and you as well, judging by the comments that we get from you. But I do want to remind you, please stick around. We got a lot of great live radio still to go right here on the Salem Communication Stations tonight. Follow me up the dial to 950 WTLN to listen to John Butler Book. Tonight he's got Sheriff Grady Judd of Polk County, and they're going to discuss the medical marijuana amendment that's on the ballot this fall. Also, you got Armed American Radio live until 11 o'clock on AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget Carl Jackson's show every Saturday morning. And this Saturday coming up, he's going to play an interview that he was able to conduct with Pastor Rafael Cruz after yesterday morning's breakfast. And I caught part of it, and it's an excellent, you'll get another good taste of what the man is all about. And that, once again, will be on Carl's show Saturday morning on AM 660, The Answer, live at 8 o'clock. And by the way, he texted me that when he was a kid, you know, he's from L.A. His family used to spend a lot of time in those hills where these cougars are now roaming around down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so who knows? All right, when we come back.
You're talking about Carl, right?
Yeah, Carl Jackson.
Oh, he would have grabbed one with his bare hands and slaughtered and eat it raw.
That's right. He's a manly man. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get right to it. Lair Adams, my favorite part of the show, his closing comments.
Well, thank you, JG. Well, I did it. I was dreading the chore, but everything happened so quickly that it couldn't have gone smoother or easier. Yep, I sold my car. The one I've had since she was a virgin for a decade and a half. The second fellow that looked at her bought her, and now the title is signed, and the money is in the bank. That's the celebratory part. Then why am I not as happy as I should be? A car is merely a mechanical contrivance, a tool for conveyance, right? Well, yes, but there's still this nagging feeling of maybe guilt, or possibly loss, I don't know. Especially when I look back on all the automobiles I've been closely associated with. I remember nearly all the cars my family had when I was young. It was back in the day when the only air conditioner was a window crank. But just like the horse-drawn buggies my parents traveled in, these horse-powered buggies carried us on so many adventures. Yes, the auto was America's symbol of freedom. Freedom to travel, to expand, to escape. The inside of a car is like the dinner table for families. You are forced by barriers to sit together and get along. Or not. But more than that, these chariots have seen us through so much that it's a little hard not to think of them as family. Or at least a lovable pet. Sure, it's a rusty hunk of junk now, but not that long ago it carried your wife to the hospital to deliver your daughter. Then, delivered her to school. There are other cars you fell in love with, but also echoed with argumentative yelling. These wagons are directly responsible for us being fed, whether trips to the store or restaurant. Now think about this. How many children out there were conceived in a car who grew up and then took their driver's test in that car? It's not that rare. However, to some, getting rid of the old jalopy is little more than discarding old shoes. But I'm too sentimental. My memory is too good. It's like the mobile home my parents lived in I had to clear out after it was sold. As I looked around each room, I remembered those wonderful experiences my daughter had with her grandparents. So, too, I recall being in the bedroom with my father when he took his last breath. It's that bittersweet part of life that we just don't want to let go. We associate our surroundings with our memories, so it's natural not to want to lose either. At this point in my life, I've had many cars, but the most memorable started with the process of strapping a child-carrying seat in the back. I'll never forget vacuuming the ground-in Cheerios out of that seat before trading her in, but they were my little girls. This latest car, an SUV, racked up the most adventures. It hauled not only my father and mother to the hospital, but somehow got me to the emergency room, driving myself a few times with broken bones, due to my incredible ability to fall off bicycles. This car has carried people I've loved and friends who have died. So maybe you'll understand why I'm such a mushy old dope about selling my girl. For well over a decade, the first thing I would see in the morning when I opened my front door was the back of this car, which is the last thing I saw as someone else drove her away. I watched her as she made her way down to the stop sign. Then her brake lights flashed me a final goodbye. Have a wonderful week, friends. And remember, nothing lasts forever.
All right. Very wow. Well put, Lair. Very, very well put once again.
Great story.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, folks, if you'd like to hear Lair's closing comments again, go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and you can do just that after the show. All right. And speaking of after the show, John Butler book coming up 8 o'clock. Great. Sheriff Grady Judd is going to be on a show tonight. They're going to talk about the medical marijuana amendment. You're not going to want to miss that, folks. We're going to leave you with We Are Americans by Lloyd Marcus tonight, folks. We are a special people because we have a special form of government, and it was inspired by God, and we need to be the salt and the light, folks. Remember, be the salt and be the light and enjoy being it. Okay? You do that, and we'll all be all right. Night, everybody.
We are good people, blessed by God. A unique experiment which has survived against all odds, with courage and compassion and a yearning to be free. Grateful Americans, you and me. Stay strong, Americans, in your quest to restore liberty. It's up to you and me to bring us back where we should be. To the words of our fathers, penned in truth and dignity.
Service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660.